Take KUJZ 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm a manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Janet, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Yo, I'll tell you, social media, sometimes it brings out the best in us, sometimes it brings out the worst, sometimes it's just funny as hell. Welcome to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score, the New Year's Eve edition. Wow. Somebody posted, remember, every time the Browns fire a coach, you should change the air filter in your furnace. That's a good one. Oh, nice. Y'all doing very well. I appreciate silly humor, as you may have noticed. So I was preparing for this radio show I do, you see, and I threw this out on Twitter and Facebook. Your favorite Oregon sports moment of the decade. Notice how eloquently I presented that. I enunciated all my verbs and consonants because I don't need to hear about Edgar Martinez line drive double in 95 or Fright Night against USC. That was another decade. So starting with 2010. And also, some of you, I said, feel free to go outside the Oregon bubble. And there were some fantastic moments. A lot of you mentioned Eldrick winning this year's Masters. Could say this year for another 8 hours. The Cubbies ending the 108-year curse of 108 years. Yeah, 108. 08 to 16. Wrapping around another centurion, getting a lot of Ashton Eaton setting the decathlon world record here at Hayward. Performance of the Oregon women's basketball team in knocking off Team USA is getting some support when you consider it was like 45 minutes ago on the timeline.
Well, it was also the second time ever that somebody had ever done that. So
it's up there. It's impressed. You know, each program respectively making the Final Four, you know, last March for Coach Graves and 3 years ago March for Coach Altman. This is one that I don't know if anybody else. I think this is just a solo act right now, and it was kind of interesting because don't forget, Colorado and Utah made it the Pac-12. That was this decade, and Oregon hosted the first Pac-12 championship game and beat UCLA. I mean, is that the most attended game at Autzen because they had to use the. Haven't we been down this road? They set up like auxiliary seats for the press, and there was like 60,000 people there.
It's either the Pac-12 championship game or the game against ASU, also that year where they just like they had 9 people to a seat. And if we do this show, we do this part, this segment of this show, probably once a football season. Probably something else we should write down or just print that page out off of Wikipedia.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea. The men's golf winning. National title because it was at Eugene CC. That's a good one. And some Dylan Brooks, the game winner against UCLA, That was pretty spectacular. You know, magical season. Somebody said Ifo Ekpre Olomu's interception against Michigan State in the same game, the shovel pass from Marcus to Freeman.
It's 60,055 in 2011 at home against ASU, 59,126 against Wazoo, 59,933 against USC in a loss. We don't talk about that one. 59,802 against ASU and 59,376 against UCLA in the Pac-12 championship game. Oregon was going on almost a decade of averaging over capacity at odds.
Yeah. Remember, the thing started in 99. They were hanging on to the sellout streak by the end of 2015. And then, well, they weren't. 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Sometimes it helps just to hit the reset button. So I went back to kind of how the decade started. Just to kind of have a personal timeline, I guess. By the way, is it me or seems like there's been an awful lot of bowl games today?
Yeah, yesterday too.
Yeah, and of course tomorrow, you know, New Year's Day, kind of a tradition.
It's almost like a lot of people take these days off and they don't work, and it seems like a really good time to have football on during the middle of the day.
Yeah, before the rules really changed, New Year's Day, I mean, you used to settle the national championship. Even when we were East Coasters, it was always, the Rose Bowl was always something to get stoked about. You know, traditionally, it was always, you know, USC or UCLA or, you know, even an occasional Husky thrown in there against Ohio State or Michigan. Always rooted for the then Pac-8, Pac-10, because I just never liked Michigan or Ohio State. No particular reason why. Maybe it had something to do with Woody Hayes. But anyway, your favorite Oregon sports moments of the decade, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Either call us or text us, 3210-824. You can try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. For me, it's at SportsTalk953. Off the text line, somebody says, is there any question that Coconut Up was the best moment of sports talk for the decade?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Wow.
Sports talk
is this. Seems very telling. Good-looking prison. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good quality contributions here.
Tannenism.
284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Kurt. Kurt, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Happy New Year. It's good. It's starting to rain.
Okay.
For me, the highlight was getting to see Liz Brenner get five letters in five sports. National championship game in volleyball. Was it Sweet 16 in basketball? World Series in softball, and she was in the top five in track. I don't think we'll see another athlete like her.
Did Liz Brenner play for Kelly Graves?
That I'm not sure, but I know they went to the tournament.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, because they couldn't have made the Sweet 16 because that didn't happen until Kelly Graves arrived.
Okay, you'll have to check, but I know they made the tournament with her. So.
All right, I know they ended up playing. What was it, Penn State for the championship in volleyball?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll do some homework and try and figure that one out. But
all right.
Five-sport athlete. Yeah. I remember the most we talked about her brother, Doug, was when...
We don't talk about that, Steve.
What?
We don't talk about what you're going to talk about. We can't talk about it.
We're not allowed to do that?
Nope, it didn't happen. Can't talk about it.
Because he was the backup center to, Grasso, thank you. And everybody thought that one big game where Hronis got hurt, and everybody thought, well, the backup, and they ended moving Hamani Stevens over to play center. So she helped Oregon get to the 2012 NCAA championship match. played basketball and softball, javelin and track and field, and then beach volleyball. And there was an article about her in Volleyball Magazine going back probably 4 or 5 years. So I don't recall her being part of a tournament run, but I could be wrong. That certainly would be would not be a first. Did you have the higher date for Kelly Graves?
I don't know.
Because now, of course, I need to go back to his first season. So this is his sixth year running the program. Darn it, Jim.
April 7th, 2014. Oregon Graves, their head coach, succeeding Paul Westhead, who was let go at the end of the 2013-2014 season.
So 2014. So that's when we would have to determine if Liz, because 2012 she took him to the championship. I don't think she was part of a tournament run.
She was, I believe, the same class that I was in school. Maybe she was a year behind me. I know we were both at Oregon at the same time, not like we were friends or anything like that. But I don't think she would have been a part of a tournament run with Graves. I think she would have had to have been like a seventh or eighth.
No. Because now I have that 2014-2015 season, they got eliminated in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament with Lexi Bando, Jillian Aileen, Lexi Peterson. That she was never part of a run in March Madness. If I'm incorrect, it was Texas that they played the national championship in volleyball. By the way, I know this is completely out of left field, but if you've never seen an Oregon volleyball match live, it's really a lot of fun. There's sound effects.
There's lasers, man, shooting out of everything.
It's very cool.
That was
WC.
That was the first Oregon sporting event I went to as a student, was a volleyball game. My dorm, Hamilton, was 19 steps away from MKA, and we just went over there. I was in the front row of the student section. I didn't know what I was doing in the front row of the student section, but just yelling, oh, the whole time was a whole bunch of fun. Very good athletes, the Oregon volleyball players. Which is quite an understatement.
Well, I tell you what, if you watch Pac-12 volleyball, it's like there was that ad many years ago, I think for one of the conferences. It was for men, but it was like, these guys are good. Watch Pac-12 volleyball. They're really good. So some of the Duck favorite moments. A couple of you who were up at Moda last March watching Sabrina and Coach Graves cut down the nets. That was very goosebumpy. Somebody on my Facebook account said Mariota doing the Heisman pose over a Beaver defender. I kind of forgot about that. That was a pretty damn cool moment. I've got my number one. You know what? I might as well just reveal it, because now you look back at it, and I'm not saying you go ho-hum, but a lot of greatness followed, a lot of incredible moments and major victories and Rose Bowls and another appearance in the national title game. But just, I mean, if this doesn't speak volumes, I don't know what does.
38 seconds, and Thomas takes the snap, and the field is rushed by players. And the fans want to come out but won't be able to. But they'll celebrate in the stands as the team heads down to the end zone. And fans everywhere. 114 years they've waited. 10 seconds on the clock. And Oregon is going to play in the national championship game. 2-1. It's official. Oregon is going to be in the BCS championship game. Can you believe the magical season this has become, and it's not over?
That's my top moment. By the way, So we were wondering if Liz Brenner ever was part of an NCAA tournament run. I got a text from Coach Graves. His second year here, Liz was part of the team that went to the WNIT Final Four. She was part of a run. I'm counting that. Kurt, I stand corrected. We owe you. So, awesome. Yeah, we had her on the show a couple times. I don't use this word lightly. She was delightful. She was just so smart and so classy, and obviously she's kind of a good athlete to have on your sports show. Yeah, I remember getting her on, and I was just like, dude, when do you sleep? I mean, how do you get good at everything at once, maintain those grades with the travel and just the level of excellence that you set for yourself? And it's like, you know, you want to talk about people who are efficient with their time. You know, there's multitasking, and then there's multitasking while you're multitasking with the multitasks. And it's like, yeah, whatever, I got it covered. And I remember hanging up, and one of our loyal callers, I forget who it was, said something. He's like, you know, you invite her on, you better hope she doesn't want to become a local radio celebrity, because they'll kick your ass right out of there and put her on. So it's been about 5 years. I feel pretty secure that Liz ain't coming for my gig. Yeah, there she is. Hide, shut the lights, pull the plug, do something.
I think the problem is we're two of maybe three people, four people in the building right now. Not just the fourth floor, the whole building right now. I think it would be pretty easy to find us. And you're also a very anti-lights off kind of guy, because otherwise we could hide back here. No one would know. But you got to have the lights on. Here we are broadcasting to the rest of Lane
Nick,
County and beyond.
Who's clearly in witness protection, because every studio he goes in, he turns on the lights, shuts the blinds.
Yeah,
he doesn't steer their open windows.
You get the glare from the lights, because all the computers face the outside, and you got to shut the blinds off. The lights cause a blare. Sometimes the lights in other studios like buzz or hum, and that's really annoying, and I can't handle it. You got to turn them off.
It's driving me crazy.
Plus, if you can just, like, if people are looking for you and they can't find you because you're in a dark studio with the lights off and you can focus on your work like I was doing today, it was perfect. It was great.
You know, up until the last couple minutes, maybe I hadn't been checking, but, oh yeah, by the way, the Ducks had a Heisman Trophy winner this decade. That was pretty big, no?
That's right. You haven't mentioned Mark.
That's incredible. And I was there.
It's part of the intro for the last hour we played.
Seeing Mosley and Coach Helf, all the coaches there, and the people who really got to know Marcus the most, just the way they beamed over the understanding of not only did he win the Heisman as the best player, not only was he worthy, not only was he a landslide winner, but just every person who came across him, ESPN, the national media was there, USA Today, CBS Sports Radio. I get a kick out of watching others interact with guys like that. Because the accessibility, the way it was set up, you really, if I wanted to talk to Melvin Gordon and ask him three or four questions, there was that opportunity. When I talked a little bit with Mari Cooper, you know, sat at the table when Marcus was being interviewed, and there was just this sense of what a special group it was, because the three young guys were all not only great, but really humble, and you know, they weren't checking their phone, they weren't like looking over their shoulder like, when's this going to end? They were kind of willing to drink in the moment, because you know, for the most part, and especially with that trio, they were all leaving. There wasn't going to be, you know, maybe another Heisman run next year. Like, for example, when, you know, Lamar Jackson won the Heisman and went back to school. You know, it's commonplace when you can get a sophomore or a junior in there. So, yeah, I guess having the only Heisman winner who, oh, by the way, won two major bowls and would catapult from the Heisman to winning the Rose Bowl into the national championship game. That's kind of a big thing. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Gary. Gary, good afternoon. How's it going?
Well, we've made it this far. I wanted to throw in an item that I thought was really overlooked for sports event of the decade for the Ducks, and that was the victory in the golf mecca of Eugene, Oregon by the Oregon Duck golf team.
Yeah, that has gotten a lot of love here. And if it had happened in Nebraska, I'm guessing not as many people would have been engaged. But to go out there and watch it happen the way it happened, yeah, pretty cool.
And to have it not be one of those things where it was like you were facing Michigan or Ohio, you're talking about the little Ducks coming out here and having the number one player in the golf tournament. I mean, that's just got to be a special moment. Our chances of that happening again, where we happen to be, you know, hosting the championship and then happen to have the people and the stars align and them come away with a giant win, totally unexpected.
No, it was considering it's college golf, and probably a topic that never surfaced on my show for 20 years, how inundated we were that week with calls. And we had, I think it was Austin Meek was out there calling in with live updates. No, really, you could tell how it ignited the local community. It was pretty darn special.
Oh, if you watch the galleries coming around with them, it was just amazing. It looked like a big-time tour event.
Oh, yeah. No, it was very cool.
So let me wish you and all the rest of the Sports Talk family a happy new year, and we'll look forward to talking about hoops soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gar. Yeah, if you're a Gonzaga basketball fan, take a seat, because you're going to be a one seed. Yeah, ain't nobody beating you. Maybe if there's an injury at St. Mary's, you might lose on a buzzer beater. Otherwise, they're going 18-0 in the WCC. And with the way things are shaking out in the major conferences, they may be all 4-1 seeds, because there might not be anybody else worthy of a one seed. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, our folks at the Public House out on A Street in Springfield, they're going to have a nice little New Year's Eve celebration. Join them in the Whiskey Lab in the attic. They're ringing in the new decade. Champagne toast, party favors. And they're getting started oily, 5 o'clock. And if you haven't checked it out, first of all, check out the website and hit happenings, publichousehub.com, our magnificent triumvirate of pubs. You got the Public House on A Street in Springfield. You've got Beer Garden in the Wit on the right side as you're heading from downtown west, beergardenme.com online. And, of course, you've got the original. That would be across the from the. I'm trying to look something up here, and I'm being a complete and total blam and not doing my job. Should I focus? Tap and Growler, by the way, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, online tapandgrowler.com, and they always got fun stuff going on. So what do you say now? I just stop speaking. Give the phone number out, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And there you go. You're covered. Nick, are they covered? Could I move along here?
I highly doubt that. If anybody was actively listening, they're very confused.
Well, I want to get to the phones here, but I'm going to do it very gingerly. I always get confused if Just Follow 61, class of 2012, 2011. Anyway, number 61 in your program, number one in your heart, Nick Cody joins us. Nick, what's happening?
Ah, thank you, Steve. You know, it was like my bat symbol in the sky when you played that Jerry Allen call. I just had to call in.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're all supposed to be grown-ups, but these games, you know, turn us all into 12-year-olds and get goosebumps. And, you know, obviously for you, a pretty special moment. What do you remember about that?
Man, specifically that Jerry Allen call that day, going to the national title. I didn't get to play a lot. You know, I was in a backup role on that team, but I was on the field when Jerry made that call. So every time I hear it, think about where I was at the left tackle position out there. Just wanted to, you know, give the best victory formation stance I could. You know, I was out there left tackle. I looked about as hard as Penei Sewell does in my stance. I couldn't block like that, but I looked that good.
Well, next time I see the video, I'll have to look for you, because I was in section 11, row 2. So I was, you know, I had a kind of a bird's eye view of the whole thing. It was surreal for, you know, I'm obviously much older than you, but for somebody who didn't even know duck football existed, to be sitting there and realizing they're going to play for the title is fabulous.
Oh, you know, man, yeah, check the film again, because I was flexing. I was the first one out there throwing up an O on the field. I mean, as soon as that clock hit zero, man, there was no one more excited than me. And it was such a special moment, and getting to be a part of that. And then the Rose Bowl, you know, I'm so lucky, man. I'm here down in Pasadena now, and it's just been so fortunate to be able to be a Duck. You know, there's hardly ever been a better time, and it might be right now.
So what's going on down there? I mean, is it just, is the town painted green and yellow or red and white or a mix? I mean, I would assume, because I know Wisconsin fans travel really well. We know the Ducks do.
Well, I know you don't get out much, Steve, in the East Coast. You know, it might seem a little small to you, but LA is a pretty big place. So I've seen a lot of Duck stuff, but it's not the entire town.
Okay, no, because when I was in Phoenix for the Final Four, I was amazed that it was, like, everywhere. You know, let me check my math. Were you part of Bellotti's last recruiting class?
Yes,
okay.
I was.
Okay, yeah, you redshirted in 08. All right, I think I've got my Nick Cody history down pretty well now.
Well, it took you long enough.
Yeah, being pestered by you daily for 3 or 4 years, but so I did my homework.
Well, you know, you're starting to figure this Twitter thing out, so I got to keep you on track.
All right, hey. Appreciate you calling. Always good to hear from you, man. Root 'em in, travel safe, and I know we'll be hearing from you soon.
Yep. Take it easy, guys. Everyone, Ducks fans everywhere, check out Once a Duck, and have a great 2020.
All right. Good to talk to you, 61. All right, 284-8571. Yeah, he's doing a podcast now, and he has a lot of fun. He don't get cheated.
With intern
with
Sam.
Yeah, with Sam, wow. Slamming Sammy.
Just a very proud dad moment. Just a little intern, yep. growing up.
It's
a BFF of the show, a part of the show, come together. Their podcast almost has as many followers as the station handled us. It's insane.
All right. You know what that means?
Break time.
We'll be back with an update and more Crunch Time, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Guaranty RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Guaranty.com.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Ha 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 ha! Thank you for correcting my English with Steve. I am Nanja Ibuko, exchange student from Cameroon. Happy New Year!
Merry New Year! anyway, welcome back. Glad to have you. Good luck in prison. 284-8571. The Oregon
Tannenism
fuel injection hotline. Are there more bowl games? Any good bowl games tonight?
Were you not listening to the update, Steve?
No. Utah, Texas. All right.
That's the last bowl game of the year.
And that's about to start. I haven't made any bets since the weekend. I got kind of some cash burning a hole in my pocket. I may just hold on to it for the next 2 weeks and just dump it all on Clemson and not hedge my bet.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, we're talking, if I bet what I have left on Clemson and they win, from betting them to win the whole thing, talking about a grand. I might be able to parlay that into one big, large one.
The last time you were this adamant that a team was going to win a title was the Rams in last year's Super Bowl, and you looked like a fool. It didn't work out for you. It put you into a gambling hole for the rest of the year.
Well, it didn't put me in a hole. It got me even. I pissed it all away. I mean, that's a big difference.
Not literally a hole, but like down in the dumps, and your gambling stopped. You were just like, I can't do it anymore. You didn't make any bets over the summer or through NBA season, college hoops, or any. It was just like you lost the Super Bowl. It messed up your whole year.
Well, I also did something most gamblers don't do. I took the loss and decided to not make it worse. Remember, it all started with a $50. I had $50 in my account in October, built it up to about 375, and bet the whole thing on the Rams.
Not even Rams with the spread. It was Rams money line,
yep.
Wasn't it?
Oh, I was going for the jugular. So this top Duck sports moment of the decade. We played Jerry Allen's call when in the Civil War to put him in the natty to play Auburn. And a lot of you were like, yeah, still get goosebumps, still choke up, all that. Somebody cited a great moment. I don't know that this is very general. It's poignant and a great point. But local fans who have supported the women's programs, we see what's happening with basketball. They played an exhibition game. And then what, there were 9,000 people? It's just unbelievable. You know, the Jane's been sold out so many times. Volleyball, and obviously track and field. And somebody, the fourth or fifth person has mentioned Raven Rogers' final leg of the relay at Hayward that brought a natty. So, yeah, you guys have put your thinking caps on and come up with some good stuff. Good crowd. All right, you're okay.
Tannenism.
Rodney Dangerfield's a Tannenism?
You doing the Rodney Dangerfield every now and then. It's just, I got to hit the button.
All right, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection hotline and bring in Tracy. Tracy, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, Steve. You?
All right, what's up?
Just an Oregon moment that's kind of on the lighter side of things. I don't know if you remember during the game against Florida State, Jameis Winston, the quarterback, and the scoop and score. But when you watch the replay and the close-up on him, three Oregon linemen coming at him looked like he saw a ghost. His eyes got so big.
Yeah, the Tony Washington touchdown. Kind of a legendary moment. No, that's a good one. And if you were watching the game, if you were there, it's also one, you know, years and years from now, it's the memory is indelible.
Correct.
All right. Good one, Tracy. Appreciate it. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection hotline. So one of the things I done did is, beyond Oregon also, memorable decade moments, you know, what were the best Super Bowls? Obviously, I would cite Eli to Manningham and then the touchdown to the running back. Was it Vereen? Yeah, I can't believe I forgot this. Well, I primarily remember the Manningham napkin that Eli dropped in there. And that was to that. And obviously, a couple of you are pretty funny. You're like trying to debate it's like, it's not the biggest moment. It's your moment. No wrong answers. You can't. No, this is more important to you than this. No. In a word, no. Ahmad Bradshaw. That was the running back. I knew it was one of the backups. But, for a lot of people, I mean, we saw first Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA title. I mean, think about that. For anybody who was under 50, seeing Golden State win was a first because they hadn't won since 75. And interestingly enough, Tiger went from 2010 all the way through, including 2018. He had one more year. Is he going to win a major in a decade? Yes. 2019. And, the first titles of the new decade, would go to Auburn in football, beating the Dukes. In MLB, you know, the Giants over the Rangers in five, Packers over the Steelers in the Super Bowl, Lakers over the Celtics in 2010, seven games for the NBA championship. In the NHL, the Blackhawks ended almost a half-century drought, beat the Flyers, a double yay for me, hate the Flyers. And that would be the first of their three cups this decade. Duke won all the marbles in men's hoops as the Gordon Hayward half-court heave banked, caught rim, and out.
I had a, from like 2014 through like 16, I think kind of technically into 17, I had an incredible run where the Giants won a World Series. The Falcons made a Super Bowl. We don't talk about what happened after that.
Same thing with the Sharks.
Yeah, the Sharks, you know, played for a Stanley Cup for the first time in my life. The Ducks made it to a Final Four for the men's team. And then, you know, a couple of years later when I, you know, started following more of the women's team, they made it to a Final Four. But I had like a 3-year stretch in there where like all of the teams that I, you know, rooted for and loved and have, you know, paid attention to for a long period of
time. They're making runs.
We're all playing for something major. And, you know, the Giants being the only team that ended up winning something is, you know, it's great that somebody won something. It's not, you know, Buffalo Billsian where it's like, oh, congratulations, your team's just kept losing, even though most of them kept losing. I got a couple wins in there. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, and you can't, and when it happens and then a few years pass, you realize, well, I ain't taking that for granted. By the way, the Final Four to start 2010, I forgot. West Virginia was in the Final Four under Bob Huggins. And by the way, in 2010, you'll never guess who won the women's tournament. Yeah, Maya Moore and UConn just kicked the crap out of everybody. Stanford ended up being the runner-up that year. You know, in the other sports in 2010, Hefty won the Masters, Graham McDowell, U.S. Open, Oosthuizen, the British.
Is that the jump one?
No, that was 04. In tennis, Serena won the Aussie and Wimbledon. Kimmy Clijsters won the U.S. Open. But anyway, that's how the decade started, just to kind of set up a timeline. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Rich. Rich, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too.
Maybe almost. Anyways, chiming in on the Oregon sports moment. There's so many. I kind of narrowed it down to roughly two dozen.
Okay.
That would be Sabrina's current triple-double tirade.
Okay.
She is just lighting it up, and that's fantastic.
No, she's, we're going to remember, appreciate the call, Rich. Like I said, there are certain memories, and yeah, here's an interesting tidbit.
Is she the player of the decade?
Well, the thing is, so thinking that this run starts the decade. So let's say they make a Final Four run, or what if they win it to start 2020? She is the most high-profile player in college basketball, men or women, right now. So what happens if she leads Oregon to the Natty, then is the first pick, and has one of those WNBA careers where she wins a couple? And I know I'm projecting. This is not a prediction. And she, you know, wins a couple of MVPs and a couple of a few WNBA titles. In 10 years, are we, you know, is she getting votes for the AP Female Athlete of the Decade? I think the fact that you can't say no speaks volumes, because when you talk to anybody, it's like you're witnessing something, the magnitude of which has not been seen really in the women's games. For all the fabulous players we've seen, from going back to Nancy Lieberman, to Cheryl Swoops, and, you know, Ogumike, and, you know, Sue Bird, and Taurasi obviously is in the GOAT conversation. Cheryl Miller, Lisa Leslie, have not really transcended the boundaries of the women's game. It looks like when you see Jay Billis talking about her as the best pick and roll player in the country and not qualifying it by saying the women's game. I mean, this is stuff we had not seen or heard before. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Larry. Good evening. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. Good. Happy New Year. Happy 2020.
Yeah, you too.
And I had three duck decade moments. I was wondering which one you would pick.
Okay.
Mariota to Josh Huff against the Beavers. Remember what? That one?
Vaguely.
It was one of Mariota's clutch comebacks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, that's a great one because you're the first one that's mentioned that. That's pretty freaking big.
Oh yeah, the other one was. Similar two-point conversion from Darren Thomas to Jeff Mayo.
In the national championship game.
In the national championship, yes. And the next one, I don't know, qualifies. I guess it's 2009, even though it was Jeremiah Masoli running over the safety from Oregon State.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a different decade.
So that is. Okay, of the two, Jeff Mayo or Josh Huff, which one would you
pick?
Well,
I've got to go Mayo. Because having been at the game with Justin, we looked around and there's a rule. If you've ever sat on press row, they're like, no cheering. Justin and I are like, screw that. And we high-fived.
Yeah.
No, that was amazing. It was like, wow, this could really happen. And, well, I don't have to tell you. We know how it ended.
Oh, it was one of those
great
passes and great catches combination you'll ever see.
That's DT.
All right.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. Especially at major football games, the reporters who need to get stories and quotes and stuff like that, usually in the last couple minutes of a game, the press box kind of empties out because they go down on the field. With Justin and I, all we had to do was prepare for our post-game show, which was happening high above the stadium. So we basically looked around like nobody's here. It's like, F yeah, man. Bang, gave a high five. It's like, there's the one time we cheered in the press box. Deal with it. We're at the national championship. All right, how about a break? We'll come back, wrap up the 4 o'clock hour. The year is winding down. We'll be back, 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
In doing that, if you fire a lot of head coaches, when you're starting to interview the next round of head coaches, those guys start looking at it and saying, hey, how much time was that guy given? He was given, there's a lot of issues, there's things, and I'm not saying Freddie Kitchens was the answer, but some guy looks like, hey, if I lose my starting quarterback, we have like this rash of injuries, are you going to fire me after 1 year if we only win 8 games?
Yes. That's Bobby Carpenter, an Ohio kid. Was a great player at Ohio State.
There's no way he's actually a carpenter. Come on.
That looks like the cup of a carpenter. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Why candidates are weary of the Browns? Duh. By the way, that's the reason, because they're coaching issues. Boy,
also an 8-8 season. I think there's a lot of Browns fans that would take an 8-8 season.
At this point, a step in the right direction.
It'd be
substantial.
If the Browns actually, you know, they pull this around,
just
they hire that. Not pull it around. If they slightly improve off of the improvements that they've taken, which is 8-8, is right in there. If they do that and then fire their head coach, no, you got to take him out of Cleveland again. You got to push him somewhere else. They don't deserve it.
So, we've got a debate going on. My grandson is 6. He was born in Wisconsin, and his grandpa, Papa Al, and the family are huge Badger fans. Talking Camp Randall, Kohl Center, huge, enormous, gigantic. So my daughter-in-law posts a picture. First, I'll just show you this. It has nothing to do with it. Okay. Debating which jersey he should wear.
Oh, there's
6-year-old grandson.
There's only one option. His name is Eugene. There's only one option for him.
But how great of a picture is that?
It's fantastic.
She has him with his hand on his chin, kind of with the confused emoji look, like Badger jersey on his left, Duck jersey on his right, a Bucky Badger stuffed animal, another duck hat. So he's lived here half his life. My son, who's lived here his whole life, is 100% Ducks. And Betsy went to UW. I always forget which UW she went to. It wasn't Madison. Green Bay, maybe? I think she's hooked on phonics. I think she's a Wisconsin Green Bay, Phoenix. And she's torn. And now, what to do with the grandson? Yeah, by the way, naming him Eugene after the city, I think that's a stacked card.
That's the answer. You can't say here's Eugene rooting for the University of Wisconsin. No, thank you. You have to drop the hammer hard. I don't know how many grandpa cards you get, but you got to find a huge stack of them and lay them down and just make a thump saying no. Grandpa says Eugene is rooting for the Ducks today.
I tell you one thing. A lot of comments, a lot of pictures of Badgers.
No, no,
and,
no.
Well, you got to understand,
I can't accept it.
Somebody has a picture of a beaver yelling duck. Oh, man, this is pretty funny. So I don't know how this thing, somebody suggested where one half won the other. I'm like, no, you got to get off the fence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. The half...
No split loyalties.
Holding the Badger while he's wearing the Duck jersey, no thank you. If he wants to put... Now, if he picks the wrong one, say he goes with the family, he picks Wisconsin, the Ducks win. If he wants to rip off the T-shirt, throw on the Mike jersey that he had there, and then put on the Duck hat, totally for that. Oh, he's a kid. He can wear the say rooted for the Ducks the whole time. But his name is Eugene. He should be wearing the Ducks gear all day.
I never thought of that. Did in naming him on October 13th, 2013, Eugene, while they were living in Wisconsin, foresee the future where this would happen.
It's tough.
All right. We're really going to – I'm going to have to go on and say my producer said – You gotta use the deciding factor here. His name is Eugene, and it's
don't spin it as my producer said. You gotta drop. Grandpa says Eugene in all
but
caps.
But you know me, I'm a bibliography
you.
Guy. Oh. I can't take false credit.
Oh,
I can't live with myself.
I'm giving you credit. Take it. Just take it.
Folks, what do you think? 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, or text me. We'll get the whole thing. We'll start a whole kind of a poll here. I should post that picture and do an hour poll on Twitter and see what everybody thinks. All right, hang tight. The final hour of the decade is coming next. 95.3 The Score.
What are we talking about, Sip?